ऐसी मशीन लगाऊंगा, इस साइड से आलू बनेगा, उस साइड से सोना निकलेगा।
Hello everybody, welcome to the Attention Please podcast, now on video. So if you like this podcast, kindly do like this video, share this video and subscribe to this channel. So at the time of recording, India has lost its first two games in the T20 World Cup against Pakistan and New Zealand, and is most likely going to be eliminated in this round itself. There could be a miracle, of course, because they're also way down on the net run rate because of the magnitude of their losses. But if this was an Indian election, I would perhaps be hoping for Amit Shah to work his magic, but this is cricket, so I'm not going to be so optimistic. So in this episode, I want to talk a little bit about what I believe are the reasons for why India did not perform to the extent that we hoped it would. And maybe our hopes were wrong, given the context. But let's look at it in detail. I'm going to not be talking about the politics, which has kind of muddied the waters to an extent that I couldn't have imagined years ago. But I think the politics is a sideshow. It's been a distraction. I don't think it's really affected the cricket, but it's also important, and maybe I'll discuss it in a subsequent episode. But for now, I just want to focus purely on the cricket. So why has India underperformed? Why has India, and it's not just a question of India losing, it's that the first two games, India lost badly. There was rarely an occasion that anybody realistically believed that India was going to win from ball one in either of these games. So the first reason I would put out is everybody's favorite whipping concept, which is the IPL. Now, for me, I love the IPL. I definitely believe that IPL has done a lot for Indian cricket. It has, in terms of, and I think the most significant thing that it has done, it has expanded the pool of players who can make a very good living from cricket. Before IPL, there was only like about 14 players in the whole country who could make a decent living. I'm not saying a great living by playing cricket. And for the rest, for excellent Ranji Trophy players, they were consigned to a lifetime of essentially taking second-class trains to nowhere and playing games in front of empty stadiums. And then finally retiring. If they were lucky, they would get a benefit game. If not, they wouldn't. And that was terrible. So IPL has, to an extent, solved that problem in the sense, again, compared to our nation, it's still a minuscule proportion of people who can make a living from cricket. But at least it has brought to the fore people who otherwise in a previous generation would have just been names in Cricinfo's database. So for me, that is the biggest contribution of IPL to India and to Indian cricket in general. And it has obviously improved the standards of fitness and fielding, and it has exposed Ranji Trophy players who otherwise wouldn't have been exposed to international coaches, international physical trainers, and you know, just general fitness regimens that the generation of Ranji Trophy players who played cricket even in the early 2000s and late 1990s, they wouldn't have been exposed to this. They would have never gotten this. So for all of this, definitely IPL is a great thing. But ultimately, it is a money-making machine. And what has happened is over the years, the amount of money that IPL has generated has essentially, you know, the BCCI, this is the only thing, honestly, now they seem to care about, which is IPL. And I think they've taken some missteps, but I might be wrong, which is they're basically expanding the pool of teams. They're diluting the brands of those who already exist. And for them, it's the easiest way to make money. I mean, just let's float a tender, have two more franchises. It's like selling bandwidth. There's no investment in it. It's something in the air and you can always sell it. And it seems to be the goose which keeps on laying the golden egg. But as the fable goes, that can't go on forever. But that's a separate thing. It's not really germane to this conversation. But the problem, the reason why I'm saying IPL in this case is the second half of IPL, which was resumed after the first half was stopped because of COVID. Because what happened is that there have been the core of the Indian cricket team, They have been playing continuous cricket in a bio bubble from the English tour to the second leg of the IPL. And even before that, not too long before that, they were playing the first leg also. So, and then, you know, the test series was basically cut short and they prioritized IPL over that. And now what's happened is that I believe that there's just that mental and physical fatigue that has crept in. And remember, this is the games of, I mean, it's just on the edge. You know, this is not a lot of leeway for your performance. This is a game of high precision. So they just go off the boil. And just look at the Indian stars, like KL Rahul, Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, and to an extent, Jasprit Bumrah. And I would say even to an extent, Ravindra Jadeja, they lead and headline franchises. They get paid that much amount of money. And it is an extremely physically and emotionally draining activity, day in and day out. And it's not just the games that they play, which are draining by themselves, but in IPL, and many others like Dale Steyn have mentioned that it's not just the games, it's what you have to do after the games are over, which is sponsor engagements, dancing for ads, this kind of false camaraderie often sometimes they have to display for their YouTube channel, the brand building activities. It's a lot for any human being, and that to an athlete, to take in day in and day out, months on end in a bio bubble. It's just expecting too much. And if you want to take an example of this, just look at what happened to Mumbai Indians, which began the IPL in a way that you thought that they were going to win it. And then they moved to Dubai after it. And just that entire Mumbai Indians core, which is also our IPL T20 core, they just fell apart. And that was kind of a harbinger of things to come now in retrospect. So when I said this on Twitter, people said, well, that's bullshit. What about foreign players? They played at IPL, but who are you exactly referring to? Take the case of Jos Buttler. Jos Buttler didn't play the second half of the IPL. He was one of the linchpins of the Rajasthan Royals franchise. He realized that. And same thing with Stokes. Stokes had other issues. But look at Jos Buttler. Jos Buttler had the opportunity to kind of take over the franchise. He chose not to. He prioritized his own, you know, family, his mental health, and he let go a lot of money, because the way IPL works is that if you decide you're not going to play, you don't have an injury or you're not being benched, then you don't get paid for those games. It's basically that auction amount is the maximum you can make, and then it's prorated over games. So he took a financial hit, and you can see the effect of that. He's in the form of his life now. I don't think he would have been playing like that if he had gone through the last month with Rajasthan Royals, because there are some players who naturally get more of the responsibility. David Warner was another person. So the foreign players who are still performing, there are many players who play IPL like journeymen. They're not well invested in the franchise. You know, think of somebody like Rabada. He has good performance, but you can see that he's not like in the core of the franchise. So for these players, it's okay. Even let's say Dale Steyn, when he was playing, it also reflects sometimes in their performance. I mean, let's take the example of Owen Morgan. I mean, the Owen Morgan who turns up for KKR, even though he gets a leadership role, is a very different Owen Morgan who turns up for England. Is this not the same guy? The intensity is not there. It wasn't there when he was the captain of Kolkata Knight Riders. He was essentially dialing it in. I had said it at that point of time. But a lot of Indian players, they don't dial it in because they can't afford to. First of all, they are dependent on BCCI. So the BCCI has them by the short and curlies, really. That's one thing. And second is that the amount of money that they get at that level, it's very difficult to say, you know what, I'm just going to take a step back and just, you know, play my part as a player and not be involved in the general overall branding. They just can't do that. Not the amount of money that they get. And even when, like, I've heard that KL Rahul is thinking of leaving Kings XI Punjab. I mean, even that money that they get, or the kind of the kind of influence they have, they decide, no, I think I'll be better somewhere else. So that's the thing about foreign players. Foreign players are not that invested in IPL. And let's take an example of Glenn Maxwell so far. Glenn Maxwell has always been this journeyman kind of player. This year, he was different. I don't know what Bangalore did for him. And then just look at how Glenn Maxwell is playing now for Australia in IPL. This is, it's just so obvious that, you know, these are human beings. They just can't keep on performing like this. Which brings us to the second factor, which is age. This T20 is a young man's sport. And if you look at the Indian cricket team, Rohit Sharma is from the 2007 World Cup. Jadeja has been playing from 2008. So has Kohli. So, you know, once you combine the first reason, which is mental fatigue, with age, and yes, I can tell you that as you grow older, everything just becomes more difficult. It's not just, I mean, these people are in peak physical shape. I'm not saying that's the problem. Maybe Rohit Sharma might be an exception when it comes to peak physical shape, but definitely Virat Kohli, Jadeja, they're in peak physical shape. But it's just the mind. And that's the most important thing at this level. I mean, at this level, skill sets, they're all very great. They're all great players. Everybody in all teams are great. And so there's really little to choose. It's essentially your mind. And it's that fatigue of IPL coupled with the age factor that I believe is kind of playing into this dip in performance. It doesn't have to be a lot, right? And there are other factors that India has suffered from in the first few games. Like, I'll just take an example of Rohit Sharma. Somebody, people saying that in India were just unlucky. Well, Rohit Sharma, just taken as an example, that innings that he played, okay, the first, you know, the delivery got against from Shaheen Shah Afridi, okay, it was a good delivery, but it wasn't an unplayable delivery either. He was just late getting down on it. Okay, just sluggish in terms of getting. What was he expecting from Shaheen Shah Afridi, from the line that he bowls? And anybody who's seen Shaheen Shah Afridi play for Lahore Qalandars, this is exactly how he bowls first up. He bowls really, he pitches it up. So sometimes his first over goes for like 11, 12, 14 runs because he doesn't bowl the back of the leg. He hits the stumps, he's going for LBW, he's going for swing. So if it's not his day, then you'll get tonked. So that was exactly what he was doing, and Rohit Sharma was late on the ball. Now you can say it happens. All right. Second game, Rohit Sharma gave a catch. You know, the first one was a catch straight down deep fine leg's throat. And you know, he dropped it. And then the second time he went for it, he was out again. So you could see that this was not a question in Rohit Sharma, the way we know him. If you give him a chance like that, he will make you pay. Not this Rohit Sharma. This Rohit Sharma, again, you maybe when you're watching this, they have already played against Namibia, made some runs, but it doesn't really matter, right? It matters with how you score, how you play in the big games against the real big boys. And there Rohit Sharma didn't look his part. So, you know, the catch that Milne dropped, you can't call him unlucky after that. That was a regulation catch. And this is what happens when you're not at your best. Rohit Sharma at his best, he would have cleared the ropes the first time he hit that shot. The shot actually went off in the middle of his bat, but he couldn't clear it. And these things are these small things, and people say people are distracted. It's not distracted, it's just the fatigue. It's just the fatigue of continuous playing. And, you know, the bio bubble is there. I know it's there for everybody. But when you've been playing for so long continuously, it just weighs down on you at your age, that too. Now, the next thing that I wanted to kind of point out was India were the hosts, and BCCI has an inordinate influence on deciding how these tournaments will proceed. Why did they choose all their games to be night games when the dew becomes a factor? Now, I know the answer is because that's the peak viewership time. They wanted to play Pakistan on Sunday at the peak viewership time. But you lose something with it. You essentially make your critical games a crapshoot by playing night games in UAE, where Duke comes in. Why would you even do that if you are in control of scheduling? Why would you keep both your critical games at the same venue at night? That didn't make any sense to me. I mean, if you're serious about winning and you're the home team plus your BCCI, would you kindly make the schedule in a way that maximizes our advantage and not make it something which is based on the toss? Again, I've said it in my last podcast. I think this is a terrible World Cup in general because these pitches you should not be playing cricket on. These pitches at this point, pitches are also worn and they've had too much cricket on them. And a World Cup is kind of a premier event. It can't just be IPL in that it's going to happen next year. No, people come into the ground to see big scores. They don't come in to watch games where the guy who wins the toss basically wins the game because they chase. This is not the way. This is a terrible advertisement for T20 in general. And if there's nothing else the BCCI understands, at least they should understand this, that this is not helping the at all, this kind of cricket. So, you know, why didn't India? It was a very simple thing. India could just have had day games where at least they wouldn't have to cope with Duke. They chose not to. I think at least what I've seen, all of India's games, at least the first few, the next one against Afghanistan is also a night game. I don't know why they would do that. Now let's come to what usually people like to blame it on, specific individuals and personnel and the selection of the team. Well, first of all, I don't think that having somebody like Dhawan would have made a difference. Again, I think the age, he would have suffered from the exact same malaise that everybody else is suffering. So I don't think Dhawan would have been a solution. For me, the real disappointment, and you can kind of look at these World Cups as a kind of a generational assessment, is the fact that the generation of Hardik, Krunal, Samson, and Shaw, they haven't really stepped up. You would have expected that around this time, they would form the core of this team. I mean, there's been a lot of investment in these players and they just haven't stepped up. I think Krunal is obviously, I mean, at some point of time, I felt that, you know, he was a decent T20 player, but no, not anymore. Sanju Samson, I love to watch him bat. Just love the way he picks up his bat. And, you know, when in flow, there is really nobody I would prefer watching among the next generation than Sanju Samson. And yet, unfortunately, I think his best times have passed him by. This is, again, he's somebody who I wish had done more with his career than what he did. I'm pretty sure he's made a lot of money in IPL, but he was a way better player than what history will remember him as, unfortunately. And then there is Prithvi Shaw, who I really love watching. I think he reminds me a lot of Sehwag, but I had hoped that this would be Prithvi Shaw's like coming out World Cup. I had made a team in the summer and I had put him up as my opening slot. I didn't want Rohit Sharma in this team. I'd said, Rohit Sharma plays well in ICC tournaments, but I think it's time that he steps back from T20 cricket and concentrates on one days and test matches, which he's definitely become better at as he's grown older, I would say. But T20 is a young man's game, so we should open with Ishan Kishan and Prithvi Shaw. You need that level of energy to succeed. And remember, when we won the 2007 World Cup, that was exactly it. It was a team of people whom nobody had actually heard of before that. Is that kind of team you need? You need a fearless team that plays with absolutely no baggage. It's great to watch them. It's great to root for them. And they actually do well. For me, the disappointment has really been in this generation with Hardik, Krunal, Samson and Shaw. Shaw maybe still has a lot of time, so maybe I'm being a little harsh on him, but Shaw has revealed too many chinks in his armor at this point of time. So unless he really steps up his game, I don't think he's going to really go where I thought he would go. Between Shubman and Shaw, I always felt Shaw had the better future, honestly. I mean, possibly in retrospect, you'll see what a fool I am, but I've always felt that Shaw had the better future. Wasn't really sold on Shubman. Still, I wouldn't say I'm totally sold on Shubman. He might, of course, he could be the next, like the best batsman that India has. He's obviously a good batsman. But for me, I would much prefer watching Shaw when he's in full flow. So this tournament should have had Shaw. This tournament, and I don't think, by the way, I don't think Shaw had done anything to be a part of this. I don't think he deserved a spot, but I think this should have been Shah. I don't think that, I think Ishan Kishan and Rahul should be opening. I don't think Rohit Sharma, maybe one down, I'm not sure. But me, it was Shah. And so when you're talking about personnel, it's no use blaming the selection committee. Shah hasn't done anything. I don't think Samson has done anything to deserve. And Samson has been given several chances. He was given a lot of chances in the Sri Lankan tour. He just couldn't convert. Neither could Krunal. Which brings me to Hardik Pandya. I mean, Hardik Pandya, I don't know why he's in the team. If he's not going to be bowling, and if he's not, in the right, he bowled two overs, and not that kind of bowling, which was like, you know, Uncle G bowling in picnic kind of bowling. I mean, unless he's going to bowl at the way he's, because as a batsman, I don't think he warrants his place in the side at all. Never did. The only thing that made him worth his place in the side was that he did both, and that he could bowl at 140, and he was a good finisher. But he's not a person who you would expect to be able to. He's not a Jack Kallis. Okay. And we might want to think he is, but he's not a Jack Kallis. He cannot stay in the side. He's not a genuine all-rounder in that sense. The definition of a genuine all-rounder is to be somebody who can play in the side, even if he was doing only one thing. Still is worth their place in the side. And he's not that. He's a bits and pieces guy. So he is a slightly more refined version of Stuart Binney. So would you have Stuart Binney in the side if he was not bowling? I don't think so. Just like that, you shouldn't have Hardik Pandya. But I know Hardik has I understand, you know, his appeal, because I think sometimes selection nowadays, it's been for a while, is dictated more by the brand and persona of the guy. You know, he's just a very sellable guy in terms of advertisements. And that's why I think he has a much bigger, you know, I would say, blast radius that he should. Hardik should not be playing at this point of time, unless he can bowl at full tilt. And he's not been fit for a long time. His back problem has been severe. You can see he's a reluctant bowler. That affects when, you know, somebody like Hardik Pandya, who has very little technique to speak of. I mean, these players play purely from their body. You know, they react much faster than most of us can. Their hand-eye coordination. But they don't have technique. So if anything, it's like a finely tuned spring. Their body. So when they play well, their body has to be at like 100%, and that's when they're finely tuned and they can perform. If there's a little delta, then they absolutely cannot perform. And this is in sharp contrast to players who play on technique, as Sachin Tendulkar or Sunil Gavaskar. Even when they're not at their best, even when their body is failing them, they can play for years almost from muscle memory because of the amount of technique and style that they have. Which is what they did, actually. And Hardik is, of course, it's not in the same galaxy, but I still think that Hardik was definitely the wrong person. Another thing that India has suffered from in terms of personnel is that it has no left-arm seamer. And as you can see in this tournament, that's been, you know, a vital factor. Left-arm seamers have done well. And we're really, really missing Natarajan in this setup. I think Natarajan here on these kinds of pitches with the length he bowls would have made a difference. So rather than, you know, Dhawan, I would say the biggest person we wish we had was Natarajan at his best. And so India has a very monochromatic attack. I mean, everybody is right arm fast and they bowl very similar lines. And this, the presence of Natarajan, I believe, would have brought that X factor back into the side. It's a very monochromatic team right now, unfortunately. And with respect to the bowlers, I mean, Bhuvi should not be playing either. Bhuvi's best times are gone. And, you know, in the Pakistan game, he was bowling at 120s. I don't care how good a craftsman of the ball you are. Unless it's swinging like Ed Baston, this pitch is, no matter what you do, if you're bowling at 120, you're going to get whacked. There's no two ways about it. And Bumrah and Shami, they've also again had long, long seasons in IPL. And they're in. I mean, Bumrah did well in the New Zealand game. But still, I just don't think any of them are at their 100%. They can't be. They're human beings. And the thing with, if things had gone their way, if the BCCI had scheduled day games, if the toss had been won, if Shahin Shah Afridi had bowled a no ball and one of those, maybe it would have gone differently. Because the thing with fatigue is that sometimes your adrenaline kind of wakes you up. When you start winning, you start winning, you forget everything. But when you start losing, it's that this fatigue that just sets in. And I think that the Indian team, at least in the New Zealand team, they just, Kohli said that we were not there, our body language wasn't there, we were not aggressive. And Kapil Dev said, what are you doing about it? But hey, he's saying it's almost a cry for help at this point of time. Yes, it's obvious. It's just you can't fake it, right? You can't fake the passion. You can fake it in front of a YouTube video. You can't do it on the field, not when things are not going your way. And see, that's the hallmark of great champion teams for me, at least the teams that I remember. It's not that they're the Australian teams and the West Indies teams who just dominated and destroyed all opposition. I mean, that's one way. But then there's also the Pakistan team of 1992, which comes back from behind at a time when they're finished, and then they come back. So can India come back? Possibly, statistically still possible at this point of time. But it's just that, and I wish it does. I wish India does. I mean, I wish the best for the team, no matter what, always. And I hope, and I think that if, some things fall into place, then maybe, you dig into and get these reservoirs of strength that you can then tap into and get great athletes. And I have no doubt that Kohli and Rohit Sharma are great athletes. They will be able to tap into that deep well of what's inside them. But when things are not going your way, when you're losing the toss and you're up against a really fresh opposition who also know the conditions well, these things all kind of pile on. And, we see these and most fans are like, we should have played this guy, we shouldn't have played that guy. And yeah, there were one or two players who I believe should not be in the team. But I don't think that we could have had a radically different team. Given the kind of steps we had taken, and also given the fact that many of the players that the board has tried to groom into these roles haven't really stepped up. There's really nothing anybody can do if Sanju Samson doesn't realize his potential, or Kunal, who again I would say at least 2 years ago looked like he would be an okay fit into a middle order, kind of a bowling all-rounder, which is again what we need. If you had a lot of, I mean, one of the big problems that India faces is that it has a very, very short batting lineup. And that counts on pitches like this. Because the main thing is, on a pitch like this, when you're essentially going to go down 7-8 down, it's essential that everybody can bat. And it's essential that the people at the top, they know that if they get out, there are people who can survive and make at least 140, 150. That gives them the license to play freely. I mean, when you say England, look at the way they played. Look at where Moeen Ali comes to bat and Chris Wokes. I mean, these guys, Chris Wokes would be batting at number 4 and number 5 if he was in India. Then he's batting at 8 or 9. So, the teams like England, my goodness, they have a deep batting lineup. We don't. And that shows. But again, I don't think that's the real reason here. We knew we had a decent team. I think we have underperformed. And I'll come back to the main reason. It's just fatigue at this point of time. So again, thank you for listening. I still hope that India will be able to make it to the semis, which doesn't seem to be possible. But hey, one can always hope. So thank you for listening. And I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.